This morning on the Acoustic Brunch, which is brought to you with support from Bank of Ann Arbor, I'm going to have a good time. I can tell you that right away, just based on the pre-show conversation. Very happy to welcome back to Studio A2 Judith Owen, who hasn't been here since December of 2005.
I cannot believe that, but I'm so happy to be back.
It is a pleasure to have you here. You had, at that time, what was the album? That was not Ebb and Flow. Was it Ebb and Flow? Somewhere around there.
No, Ebb and Flow was in the last 3 years. 2005, I think, might have been here.
Well,
I think it might have been here.
I've got them all here, so we could look
that
up. Anyway,
look at you. You know what? You have just made the cockles of my heart warm up incredibly by seeing that. You have everything.
I have everything.
Oh, that's amazing.
We'll look at those later. 1996 was the debut album, and joining us today with you, I don't think this is who you had in 1996.
Oh, good grief, no.
Gabriella Swallow on cello, violinist Lizzie Ball, percussionist Pedro Segundo, and the legendary bassist Leland Sklar,
yeah.
All here today to make this session a really, really very, very special
one. Well, we're from all over the world here. See, Leland obviously is Californian. I'm from London. The girls are from London. And Pedro is from Lisbon, Portugal.
Wow.
So we're all over the place. International set.
Sounded great in the warm-up. What song would we like to start with before we
get
into
some chat? I'm
going
to start with the title track from my latest album, Somebody's Child.
I'd like to talk to you about this one after you perform it.
Sure.
It's Judith Owen in Studio A2 on Ann Arbor's 107.1.
There's a girl on the street in a trash bag dress. There's a baby in her belly and milk in her breast. And I'm crossing the street 'cause she's acting so wild. But she used to be me and she's somebody's child. Spare a little salt for the down and up 'cause it's true. The tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. Well, look at that man, he lives in his car, 'cause a run of bad luck went and pushed him too far. The woman who lives in a box at the back, when she started out, did her dreams include that? So spare a little thought for the down and out, 'cause it's true. If the tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. So leave them on the streets if their families don't care. We've got crow's feet to fill, we've got no cash to spare. The food lines are endless, the shelters are full, and such are the things they don't teach you in school.
Incredible. Judith Owen in Studio A2, brought to you with support from Bank of Ann Arbor on Ann Arbor's 107.1. And that song, very moving lyrically so. How much truth is the used to be me line in that song? Is that you from
I'm somebody who knows enough about depression and being unable to
deal with life and to just be able to exist as a normal human being, should we say, if there is such a thing as existing as a normal human being. But it all came about because I was in New York City, and it was winter time, and there was snow on the ground, and I was Christmas shopping, and I turned onto Fifth Avenue, and in front of me was this image that I will never, ever forget, and it was this gorgeous young black girl, probably about, I don't know, 16, 17, wearing trash bags for clothes, and with an enormous pregnant belly coming out in between this makeshift, you know, bra and skirt, and there was this exquisite, voluminous belly of life, and she was high on drugs and dancing to the music in her own head, barefoot in the snow, and of course I ran across the road to get away from her as everybody else was scattering in the same way, because to be confronted with such fragility when you are so damaged yourself, as I then was, is one of the most frightening things, because it's just a reminder of how close we all are to the edge. And at some point, my humanity kicked in, and I thought, that's somebody's child. That's someone's baby having a baby. Just like me, like you, like all of us, with different, you know, with different cards, with a different home and parents and, God forbid, you know, brain chemistry, and I know a lot about that, obviously, and with luck in life. That could be me on the street and her running around Christmas shopping. And so that became the template for every song on the album, because it's an album about humanity, mm-hmm. as far as remembering to be humane and being reminded of your own humanity, and also about, you know, about not missing the big things in life, because we're all so self-absorbed. And I'm not pointing the finger or lecturing. It's me. I am self-absorbed. Of course I am. I'm an artist. You know, I'm as self-absorbed as they come. I'm the bottomless pit of need, which all artists are. And if they say different, by the way, they're lying. So I know better than anyone what it's like to be in my own bubble all the time. And so this, to me, is an album about looking outside myself and seeing the things, yes, that we're all struggling with, but also seeing what's really going on in the world and what I miss by being so self-centered.
It's a beautiful track, and I'm not sure how to count your records, because your bio says 11 studio records,
yeah,
but one
11,
of them, well, one of them is Beautiful Damage. That's a collection, so does that count? I don't know.
Well, I think it does, because I had new songs on that as well, because at the time of the Beautiful Damage, it's interesting, and I have always described myself as being beautifully damaged, because I do believe that both things are true in life. You know, you're not just one thing. You're usually multiple things, but there's always two sides to the coin, and I know that I am capable of creating things of great beauty, and I'm also a terribly flawed person, and I came in with this you know, chemistry, this brain chemistry, which luckily I'm out of the other side of now, and I'm in the healthiest place I've ever been in my entire life, probably, and that's the reason why probably I can look outside myself now and talk about the things in life that I see, not just be introspective all the time. But Beautiful Damage, I was an album that came out when I was actually doing a theatre show in the West End in London. About that very topic, about, you know, my and my co-star and co-creator Ruby Wax, our experience in life, having, you know, that dark side of ourselves. And we did it so that we would, you know, it was our way of trying to destigmatize it by saying, look, we've had it, we know this, we have it, we manage it, this is who we are, and it's a terribly secretive situation, as you well know, where you tend to spend most of your life hiding and putting on a different face for everyone else so they won't see how awful you are inside. And people are very lonely with it. So that was really the reason for it. So that was that. And after that came out Some Kind of Comfort. And those were the two albums that came along with that show.
Well, no disrespect to the rest of the catalog, but Somebody's Child itself, the song, is my favorite in your catalog.
Well,
the ones
you've
written.
Well, you are all right with me then. That's all I can say. I really do appreciate that, because I do think that the thing that I like to do the most and what I aspire to be is somebody who writes entertaining music, as far as music you really want to listen to, but that has emotionally intelligent lyrics that have an effect upon you. And the music first, and then
you hit me here.
Well, I'm so glad. That's my job. Great. That is my job.
Great job. You
want
to do that again?
Thank you so much.
Do it again. Give me another song from Somebody's Child, the new album, which, by the way, thank you for the U.S. market for putting two bonus tracks
two
on the CD.
Two bonus tracks.
I
that
love
you could
that.
Not get in Europe
thank
or in
you.
Britain because, you know, I couldn't just come and give you something the same. I mean, good grief. You're so much bigger.
That's right.
So much. I needed more. Thank you.
What song would you like to do
I'm going
to
say, I'm going to, you know, again, I said about the things that we miss in life. Well, this next song is about how, putting technology into the hands of a mood swinging woman like me is a danger. So when you put a cell phone or any smartphone or a computer into my hands, there's trouble. Because if you don't answer my text or email in 20 seconds, I believe you hate me and the world is against me. And I go on literally, I plummet.
I feel like that too.
Thank you. And I think that is something that we all feel because we've created this monster where we were okay before. We'd like spend a day waiting for a phone call. No big deal. Now, 20 seconds and it's all over, my friend.
Very needy.
Needy, needy, needy. So I wrote this song and it's called Send Me a Line. I've got my own broke way of thinking. I knew I'd blown it from the start. Why'd I go and write the things I had to say? Second guess myself when it was too late, too late. And now my heart is out there. Oh, buddy, won't you send me the line, send me a line. Oh, buddy, won't you send me the line, I'm dying here. I'm dying here. I'm stuck here waiting for your answer. Don't want shopping, get my girls a call. I am free to go wherever I want, but can't seem to make it out the door. Oh, buddy, won't you send me a line, send me a line. Oh, buddy, won't you send me a line, I'm dying here. Spare me some time, spend some time. Oh, buddy, won't you send me a line? I'm dying here. Dying here. I'm dying here. Send me the line, I'm dying here. Buddy, won't you send me a line? Oh, buddy, won't you send me a line? I'm dying here. Oh, I'm dying here.
Fantastic. It's Send Me a Line, Judith Owen in Studio A2 on Ann Arbor's 107.1. It's brought to you with support from Bank of Ann Arbor. And what a great band you brought with you today. I'm serious.
May I just talk about them for a second?
Please do.
In the first place, when I did the last album, Ebb and Flow, which I know you have,
right.
That was a love letter to the music of Laurel Canyon because it influenced me in such a huge way. And one of my sweetest memories, my father had just passed away when I decided to make this record, and one of my sweetest family memories is being in the car, I think it is for so many of us, singing our lungs out as a family to Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and James Taylor and Carole King. And it's the first time as a kid that I heard Leland Sklar and Russ Kunkel. And I decided that it was about time that, because it had, you know, as a confessional singer-songwriter, that's really the thing that made me want to write music that was beautiful and had such great melody and yet was really moving and had real depth of lyrics. And so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go to the source, because I had been a fan for Leland's for such a long, long time, and he was working with my husband, Harry, and so I just thought, you know what, it's now or never, so I just jumped him during a show that I was doing and I was guesting at. You were vulnerable. You needed love. I saw your vulnerability, and I couldn't help myself. So I just hit in on him and just said, you know, I played music and we played in that situation together, and it was an instant, joyful, remarkable thing, because, you know, this is the guy that cut his teeth on. And they're still being cut on the kind of... He's bleeding from the gums as we speak. He cut his teeth on this kind of music, right. You know. So it's just a true love affair between Leland and myself. It is.
Let me interrupt you for just a second to sing his praises.
Good luck with that, by the way.
I know.
I never shut up.
Pull him up on Wikipedia and just see some of the records he's played on.
Oh,
if
it's
you
ridiculous.
Don't know, it's ridiculous. And
it's
one ridiculous. And one that's missing from the Wikipedia page is my favorite blues album of all time, Laith Al-Saadi's record Reel, which he played on. And you got to put that one on the page, whoever's in charge of Wikipedia, because, you know, it belongs on there.
10 years behind on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
They are 10 years behind. He's not mic'd, so we can't actually hear Leland say they're 10 years behind on the records he's contributed to. So what an amazing choice.
You know, it is entirely insane. And when we went into the studio together, because it was him and Russell and Waddy Wachtel, and we went into Sunset Sound, because I wanted to do old school. And I was nervous. You know, I'd met Leland by then and known, you know, that he was just an unbelievably fun guy. But then I realized within 2 seconds that actually the three of them were like my unbelievably badly behaved uncles, as he just put a whoopee cushion underneath my seat got ready to play today. So let's just get down to basics.
All right.
But
the rest of the band
are equally exquisite, if not with the same credits, but they will be, because they are the stars of the future. Next to Leland is the fabulous Pedro Segunda from Lisbon,
and
Portugal.
So good, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to be cheap. I'm going to say it, because I love this line. He's my favorite Lisbian. And I said, no, it's awful. It's so cheap. But he is an utter star, classically jazz. He's unbelievable. Yeah. And along from him are two more incredible stars. That is Gabriela Swallow on the cello. She's the woman that introduced me to Pedro. And we've worked together for 10 years now. And she's an unbelievable musician next to her, who she again introduced me to, the fabulous Lizzie Ball, exquisite violinist. And so, you know, it's sort of... It's a beautiful little family we have here, and you have an amazing sound it's not that many people to have such a rich and orchestral sound. And with somebody's child, all these players, as well as Russ and Waddy too, but it's a marriage of American influence and British influence. It's got that classical feel, that pomposity in the strings that I love so much, which the Beatles knew all about and was so strong. And so it really does speak of the two worlds that I live in, because I live in London and New Orleans. So to me, it absolutely pulls it all together.
Fantastic. Well, there's a small list of people that I've just... from your albums, I've made a list of people you've worked with, and it makes me go, how in the world are you not a household name? You've worked with Richard Thompson, Julia Fordham, Kev Moe, Leland Sklar, Russ Kunkel, Waddy Wachtel, Lenny Castro, Ben Montench, Matt Chamberlain, Cassandra Wilson, Harry Shearer. I mean, just that list alone.
And Katie Lang.
Katie Lang.
And Burt Bacharach.
Right. So,
and it goes on.
And how are you still this unkept...
I'll be damned if I know. I'm allowed to say that. I just... You know what? I guess, you know, in all honesty... I come from another time in another place, and I want to do things in my own terms, and I missed the window because I wasn't of that time in the 70s, and so here I am doing that thing in a time that's not for me, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop me. I'm too stubborn, you know. I mean,
no.
I can't. This is what I do, and so now here I am on the road opening for Brian Ferry. Having multiple people running up to me afterwards saying exactly the same thing, which of course fills my heart and breaks it at the same time.
Just not at this time.
Because I would love to be a household name, but I'm determined that, you know, all I can do is do what I do and get in front of as many human beings ears as possible.
Right.
And try, you know, and blow people away every single time that I play. That's my job. But ultimately, I come from somewhere else. I come from a place where I needed music and used music to get well and to be healthy and to be okay. And for me, that's my job for other, as far as that's what I'm trying to get across to the listener, whether it be through, you know, as you heard a song like that, the last one, that's a pure joy, fun song.
Sure.
But songs like Somebody's Child Song, you know, the songs that have weight and meaning and have experience behind them, I think it's all about the soul. It's about balm for the soul. And I want you to laugh and cry.
And I do.
So it does come from a different place with me. It's a thing of need and absolute. It's almost on a religious level, but I think that's what it's like for musicians who this is the love of their life, you know.
If we comb through your collection, we can see some of the musical influences based on who you've covered. The Kinks, Survivor, Soundgarden, The Police, Mungo Jerry, Spinal Tap, Deep Purple, and of course the man you're on tour with, Brian Ferry. I mean, yeah, that's a nice cross-section of music, and I listen to all of it, so we could be friends, I think. But
yeah, I think we could definitely be friends. Well, you know, the best thing about that is when you find out that the people whose songs you've covered are now your biggest fan because of it, because they get it too.
Oh.
And I think pretty much every person on that list or a member of that band or the artists themselves has actually reached out to me and said, you know,
nice
love
job.
It. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Because I'm not, I don't believe in karaoke. I think the original version is the best it will ever be. And I can't improve upon it. Why would I try? But if I hear something that either makes me, it affects my joy, you know, my humor, as in, you know, with something so highly testosterone as a smoke on the water or a black hole sign.
Right.
To me, I just want to turn it on its head and make it into a female sexy thing, and that makes me joyful. But it still has to work. It still has to be a great interpretation. And then songs like More Than This it is a direct result of being on the road with Brian, hearing him in Britain do that song every single night, being in a place of missing home so much, missing my husband, missing my sister, missing my home, missing my dog.
Oh.
So much, it's painful.
I'm sorry.
And, the truth is, you do your show, you go back to the hotel, you sit there by yourself, and you've got all this adrenaline, and it's kind of lonely. And that's the truth, even when you're surrounded by your best friends, like I am here.
Yeah.
So what that song means to me, it's not a romantic thing in the way that Brian wrote it. Again, why would I do that version? It's exquisite. My version speaks of how if you don't have the people you love in your life to share your highs, these amazing moments, then they don't mean anywhere near as much. And it really, I think it really does reach that place of not missing the most important things, which I did for the longest time. You know, you think applause is going to fill the big chasm inside.
Yeah.
That lasts a minute and a half, and then you just go back to self, you know, self-abuse. Or like, not that kind of self-abuse, obviously, but different kind of self-abuse. But no, it's sort of like then you realize that actually the people in your life are so, so very, very important. There's nothing more than this.
Let's do it.
I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing falling leaves in the night. Who can say where they're blowing? I must free. Of two.
It was fine for a while. There was no way of knowing, like those dreams in the night. Who can say where we're going?
Judith Owen in Studio A2, brought to you with support from Bank of Ann Arbor on Ann Arbor's 107.1's Acoustic Brunch. Amazingly beautiful.
Thank you so much.
People often ask me, you know, what was your favorite session you've done? This is going to be on that list for sure. This was amazing. Amazing. Thank you for bringing your band with you. These people are amazing as well. Gabriella, Lizzie, Pedro, and Leland, thank you so much for sharing your talents. And the album, fantastic as well. Somebody's Child, I'm holding it in my hand, which works real well for radio. But
I really appreciate it. You know, we're on tour now. We'll be on tour again with Brian Ferry the whole of August.
Oh, wow.
He's invited me back, and we'll be all going out, all of us going out again at that time. And for those dates and every future performance, you can find out everything on judithowen.net, and you know, obviously Somebody's Child is available at all wonderful places, right, where there are in fact CDs anymore and vinyl
online,
and you know how it is.
I do.
But it's a joy to play these songs, and thank you so very, very much for inviting me back. It's been a joy.
And I hope there's a show in Ann Arbor at some point that we can get these
There definitely will be, so definitely check out, because I'm considering absolutely coming back maybe I think summer, or you know, definitely later in the year.
Well, thank you so much again, and we'll return to the Acoustic Brunch in just a couple of minutes on 107.1. I'll do the bonus song. Yeah. I mean, you can either let it roll and I'll just put the bonus song and cut it off the end. Okay, so I'm going to shut up on my microphone and you guys can do the other.
Okay. It's called Tell Your Children. I was watching the BBC, and there was a guy talking about how we have 50 to 100 years of normalcy left on this planet, which was just like, what? And, you know, because I know that, but hearing it, oh boy. Yeah, about what we're doing to our planet. Yeah, and I don't even have children. My first thought was, what do you tell the next generation? So I had to write this song. I had to write it. Again, you know, song that you want to, like, sing along to, but with the most serious of messages, so. This is Tell Your Children. Man on the TV told us something. Something that made me fall apart. us that time was running out, friends. Unless we made a change, unless we made a start, and a why don't you make it?